Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. If this is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. While you're in Judson Chapel, there is a sign-up sheet for greeters and coffee hour hosts in the month of June. And the Sundays of June 11th and June 18th are still open. So if you would like to be a greeter or a coffee hour host on one of those Sundays, please feel free to sign up. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. And I'm not going to read it to you, but I do want to point out that we will be having our monthly worship service at the Glen Ridge Nursing Center this coming Tuesday afternoon. Also, a couple updates. Back in March, we were receiving your gifts to the America for Christ offering, which supports the American Baptist mission work in the United States and Puerto Rico, and our goal was $800. And this week, we reached our goal. In fact, we surpassed our goal at $801. So thank you very much to those who did support that mission work. And yes, we're beginning another mission offering. We are in the midst of that. We are receiving your gifts to the One Great Hour of Sharing offering, which you'll be hearing more about during the service today. There are two inserts in the bulletin today about West Virginia and Haiti as to where some of our American Baptist mission dollars for the One Great Hour of Sharing offering went to support those regions. So I encourage you to read those at your leisure, preferably not during the sermon this morning. At this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 514 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading selected verses from the first letter of John, chapter 3. And let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God.
And that is what we are.
Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. This is how we know what love is.
Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers.
If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words, but with actions and in truth.
This then is how we know it belongs to the truth. How we set our hearts in God's presence, never our hearts in doubt.
For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Our opening hymn this morning is Rise Up, O Church of God, number 724. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy Lord, in your love, you bid us to rise and come to you. We enter your presence with joy. Let us hear your instruction to be more faithful in our discipleship and our care for all that you have created. Speak to us through this time of worship and through the example of those whose lives are fully yielded to you. We ask this in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we will have a mission moment, and then after that, the Sunday school students and teachers will be excused. And Dorothy Berry, a member of our mission board, will be sharing some information with us today.
Good morning. Did you know one great hour of sharing? This offering began 68 years ago. In response to the devastation of World War II, in March 1949, a national broadcast on a Saturday evening asked Americans to give generously the next morning in their churches. A remarkable assembly of national leaders and celebrities gave their efforts to the broadcast, and more than 75,000 churches responded the next day. Today, one great hour of sharing serves people over 80 countries around the world. Sponsored by 9 Christian U.S. denominations and a church world service, one great hour of sharing make sure that we can respond to needs as soon as they happen, and that tens of thousands of people receive support for ongoing relief, rehabilitation, and development. The World Relief Committee of the American Baptist Board of General Ministries reviews each development request for funding from the one great hour of sharing offering received from American Baptists. Gifts reach the ministries and people in need through a network of regional and international partnerships with the following: American Baptist Foreign Mission Society, American Baptist Home Mission Societies, Baptist World Aid, the compassionate arm of the Baptist World Alliance, supporting 3 areas of ministry, relief development, and support of national partners. Church World Service, founded in 1946, Church World Service is a relief development and refugee assistance ministry supported by 36 Protestant, Orthodox, and Anglican denominations in the United States. Working in partnership with Indignation organizations is more than 80 countries. CWS works to eradicate hunger and poverty to promote peace and justice around the world.
At this time, if there are students who would like to go to Sunday school, you may leave with your teacher. We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with the church family as we go to prayer this morning. We want to continue to remember Paul Patrie and May Upperman, who both have health issues and I believe are probably at home this morning, not able to be here, but here in spirit, and both have expressed desire to communicate to you and convey to you their gratitude for all the communications that you have sent their way, whether it's cards, calls, visits, as well as prayers. And so we just want to continue to remember them in prayer. I know a couple weeks ago, I believe I asked for this, and I'm going to ask again, that we remember we have two candidates for baptism and an additional candidate for church membership that we've been meeting this month. And I just encourage you to pray for our congregation and pray for these candidates as they are preparing to make their public statements of faith in the coming weeks, and just want to keep them in prayer today. Also, we want to keep our president and his team in prayer as he is overseas on his first trip, and just pray that it may be fruitful and that there may be peace while he is traveling. And do you have any requests for prayer today, either a celebration or a concern? Peggy. Okay. So we've been praying for your sister-in-law, Claire, and she's not doing very well herself physically, but her sister passed away yesterday, so we want to keep her in prayer. And your niece that has surgery and is now, So your other niece that has had bypass surgery and cancer has been discovered. So we want to lift her up in prayer. Okay. And your other niece, you did mention the other day to me that is doing okay. That was injured a year ago. So we want to lift up your family members today. Anyone else have a prayer request? Barbara. So you represented, you and David, at your son Jim's, for his work, and that it was a new dedication of a new building. Good. And it's nice to be able to be with family, too, and special occasions, too. So that is a celebration that you were able to do that. We're glad you're back home, but we're glad you were able to travel, too. Yeah, glad you were able to travel. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Marilyn, a member of First Baptist Worcester, has been diagnosed with colon cancer, has an appointment at Dana-Farber, but his local oncologist has not been real hopeful. So he's a little anxious, as many of us understand that with health issues, and we just want to keep Carl in prayer. Also, I forgot to ask for prayers last week, but we want to keep Pastor Josefina from Casa de Fe in prayer. She had cancer surgery about 10 days ago. I saw Pastor Ricardo yesterday, and she's doing okay, but it's going to take a little longer, I think, than she had expected. She's expected to be back right away, but she'll be out probably another 5 weeks. So we want to keep Pastor Josefina and Casa de Fe in prayer during this time of change for them. But Pastor Ricardo has been here. Also, Pastor Ricardo earned his Doctor of Ministry degree this weekend. So we celebrate with our sister church that meets next door in our parish house, but also pray for them during these some challenging times for them as well. Any other requests for prayer? Dindam. Congratulations, Dindam. He just graduated from BU, so master's. Master's degree. Okay, yes. Congratulations, Dindam. So, and Dindam has expressed gratitude to the church for our support, but that's a wonderful celebration. Anyone else have a prayer request today? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something that was mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity of coming to this your house to worship you and to spend these few moments in conversation with you. Lord, we don't fully understand, but we know that through the Bible we've been instructed and told that you can receive all prayers from everyone at the same time, and we never get a busy signal, and you know, you're never at lunch or on vacation, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we just thank you for hearing our private, personal prayers, and we pray now that you would also receive our corporate petitions this morning. And Lord, as we come this day, we do lift up those who are ill. We've mentioned a few by name, others by relationship, and just lift up and pray for your healing to take place in their lives according to your will. Lord, we also pray in the springtime when we see the earth coming back to life with leaves and green grass and flowers budding and just reawakening. Lord, we are aware of changes that take place in nature, but also changes that take place in our lives. And Lord, we lift up those who are graduating or have graduated, that have completed part or all of their education, and it's a time of transition into a new step of life. And Lord, we thank you that you are always with us through every step of our journey. And we pray for those, Lord, that are embarking on a new leg of their journey through graduation. We pray for those that are still in school, who are studying, that may be writing papers or finishing exams as we speak or in the next couple of weeks. And we pray for those that are anticipating a change in their lives. And Lord, as graduations take place, we realize that oftentimes that means a time to move physically to a new location. We pray for those, Lord, that are in the midst of transferring to a new home, setting up someplace else, or perhaps returning home from school and reestablishing roots within their home community, perhaps returning to live home with one or both of their parents and setting up new dynamics between parent and child. Lord, we pray for all of those that are in those times of transition as well this day. We pray for those also, O God, who are traveling. It's a time of warmer weather and planning for vacations. We think of our president and pray for him and his team as he is visiting various nations in the Middle East. And just pray, Lord, that that may be a time of peace, a time of establishing relationships for him with other world leaders. Lord, we pray for those that are also traveling, you know, for pleasure in various areas, whether within this country or abroad. Just pray that it may be a time of rest and relaxation for them. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of life and the gift of relationships that we have. We also pray, O God, for those that are making decisions at this time. And we know as we talk about graduations and deciding what the next step is, but Lord, we also have people within our congregation who are making that decision to publicly commit their lives to Christ and to become members of this congregation. And Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would be with them in the coming days as they prepare for baptism and church membership. We pray, O God, that we may be the welcoming family, church that they may be looking for, that we may welcome them, we may provide nurture for them and encouragement as they continue on their faith journey. Lord, we offer all of these things now to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Earlier we heard about some ways the One Great Hour sharing offering is working, and that is one of our mission offerings, and there are special envelopes in the pews. But we're also receiving your regular tithes and your gifts today that support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
pray together. Lord, as we present these tithes and these gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us, that we may share the message that the choir gave in the anthem today, that all things work together for good from you. And Lord, we just pray that those that are hurting today and need to hear that message may receive it from us if there is some way that we may communicate that we may use these gifts wisely. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. And Peggy Blum is our lay leader today and will be reading the scripture.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they all answered him, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister thee?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did not To one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There goes the reading of Christ's book. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this morning in Jesus' parable, and Lord, we just pray and hope that we will always be found, and we are, when the time comes, it will be with the sheep, that we have done what Christ has offered us to do. But Lord, we know it is a challenge, and we pray this day that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living, that we may be your hands and feet, that we may reach out to those in need and recognize them, that we may minister in your name here on earth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever entered an unfamiliar building, such as a mall or office building or something, and sought out a directory to locate the place where you are going? If you have, then you know that you first have to determine your current location on the directory. And it's often indicated by the words, "You are here," with either a big X or an arrow. And we need to find that in order to decide the best route to our desired location. And for those of us who are a little bit tech savvy, when driving and using GPS to guide us, a pin drops on the map marking our current location or indicating a destination, orienting us in space. These pins represent where we are and where we hope to go. And we anticipate that our trip does not involve too many recalculating side trips. This year's theme for the One Great Hour of Sharing offering is, "You are here." In the New Testament, Paul's letters remind us that as members of the church, we are so closely connected that we can think of ourselves as part of one big body. The New Testament constantly refers to followers of Jesus not as Christians, but as a family, as brothers and sisters. Many churches live out this when someone is ill or in mourning or facing a crisis. You show up if you're a member of that church, the body. You are there for your loved ones in need. You show that love in tangible ways with calls and cards, with hugs and spoken words of prayer. These acts let your brothers and sisters in Christ know that you are present with them. They know that they are not alone because you are beside them. Perhaps you have been through a diagnosis and treatment for a serious illness or suffered the unimaginable sorrow, and your church, your family, has been there to let you know that you are not forgotten in your troubles. When someone you love suffers, all of our truest words and most loving actions simply declare, "I am here." The Bible tells us that God is like us in this respect. When one of God's beloved children suffers, God declares, "I am here." God hears the cries of the poor and the oppressed. God is near to the brokenhearted and is close to all who call God's name. The promise that God will be with us is a constant refrain from Genesis to Revelation. Throughout the entire Bible, we see this, that God is always with us. When we see the latest tragedy on the news, we might ask, "Where are you, God?" But we already know the answer, that God is here and God is there in the midst of those who are hurting. When Jesus tells the parable of the sheep and the goats that we read and heard earlier, he reveals to us a mystery. God is most tangibly present in the world where people hunger, thirst, lack adequate clothing and shelter, and are sick or imprisoned. Christ claims as family members all people who suffer and says that he is so present in them that when we feed the hungry, when we care for the sick, when we welcome the stranger, we feed, care for, and welcome Christ. Something else that we learn through Scripture is that we should not focus just on those in our own church family or even our extended family of Christians. Instead, we should reach out to anyone in need, anywhere in the world. These are our sisters and brothers. They are our children. They're part of humanity. Their needs might seem different than the person we worship next to on Sunday morning, but our tangible gifts declare the same message. I am here. I care. I'm with you. By reaching out to those who suffer from natural disasters, war, or systemic poverty, we let them know that they are not forgotten. Even when the need seems far from here, by acting together as a body of Christ, we are able to be there for these members of Christ's family. We show them love with gifts of rice and oil. We are present by providing well pumps for clean water and seeds and training for sustainable agriculture. Through medical kits, school supplies, temporary shelters, and safe housing, we show up when people are in need. In the midst of suffering, we may ask, where is God? God is here. Where are you? When you give to the One Great Hour sharing offering, you are here also. People who have been helped by this offering frequently say, you were here after the flood, the earthquake, the fire. This is the only one of our four annual mission offerings that is shared with other denominations and allows the extended church to show up and be here when people are in need, in time of crisis, and in time of calm. Because the One Great Hour of Sharing works with congregations and organizations that are on the ground with deep roots in affected communities, we can be present quickly and stay for the long term. This means that after the news cycle has moved on to the next hot spot, the next disaster, you are still here, helping people rebuild their lives. The One Great Hour Sharing offering makes the love of Christ real for individuals and communities around the world who suffer the effects of disaster, conflict, poverty, or severe economic hardship, and for those who find themselves as refugees or displaced within their home country. You heard a little bit about the history of the One Great Hour Sharing earlier during the mission moment, and I'm going to highlight a little bit, and you may hear a few words similar to what we heard before, but from its beginning in the late 1940s, the One Great Hour Sharing offering has always been an ecumenical effort. Today, this offering serves people in over 80 countries around the world. It's sponsored by 9 Christian U.S. denominations and Church World Service. This offering makes sure that we can respond to needs as soon as they happen and that tens of thousands of people receive support for ongoing relief, rehabilitation, and development. The purpose of the One Great Hour of Sharing has remained the same, to collect special gifts to assist those in need. Contributions to this offering make a difference in the lives of people. Church World Service, with overseas partners are often the first on the scene following a disaster of natural or human origin. The needs of the people are identified and priorities are set to bring long-term solutions that will improve the quality of life for individuals and communities around the world. Last year was another year punctuated by many continued human-made disasters. We can just think of Syria, Iraq, Ukraine, Nigeria, and South Sudan as just a few examples. These situations have uprooted millions of people. According to the United Nations High Commission on Refugees, at the end of 2015, there were over 65 million people who were refugees, displaced in their own country, or seeking asylum. 65 million people. That's the highest number since records on the displaced have been kept. Our gifts to the One Great Hour of Sharing brought relief in many of these situations. I want to summarize how our gifts to this offering let people know that we are here, that we are with them. For example, just last year, around the world, we helped provide relief from floods and hurricanes, or a tornado, earthquake, and a cyclone. We also offered assistance for refugees, asylum seekers, and those experiencing civil conflict. Here at home in the United States, we help provide relief from floods, storms, tornado, and hurricane. We also supported those who suffered from the Flint, Michigan water crisis in acts of arson and during a plant shutdown in one community. In addition to emergency relief, because One Great Hour is often thought of as the disaster offering, but in addition to the emergency relief, this offering last year provided funds for development projects, projects which address chronic needs in countries around the world, as well as several states here in this country. Christ is here, and he calls us to also be present to those in need. As we read in this morning's call to worship from the first letter of John, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? That's the question, and the answer comes in the next verse. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. When God's love is here, abiding within us, we cannot help but respond generously with our worldly goods. Through your gifts, you are here to people around the world and in our own backyards, wherever there is a need. Let's pray together. Christ, we hear the world crying. There are so many who are hungry and thirsty, who are sick, imprisoned and lonely, some that need clothing as well, O God, and shelter. At times, Lord, we just feel so dizzy from all the need that is there. And we know, O God, that you have not called us to meet everyone's need, but that to have compassion for those whom we can help. Lord, we have focused on the One Great Hour of Sharing offering today, one that whose funds we share with other denominations as we reach out to meet the needs both in our own country and around the world. Lord, we pray that we may be Christ's hands and feet and voice in our own way, that we may reach out, that we may be, as Christ said, that we may minister to the least of these who are part of his family. Lord, help us to look for our brothers and our sisters in need and help to meet those needs. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is printed on the insert, and it is a little different, so I'm going to give you a brief instructions. The first three verses, the congregation is going to sing the first part of the verse. It's a question, the same question that was asked to Jesus. When did we see you, Lord? And then the choir is going to respond with the rest of that verse. So the congregation and choir are going to do a little back and forth for the first three verses. And verses 4 and 5, we will all sing together. So those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. The tune is familiar. The words are new, but very applicable to today's message. Let's sing together. Now please turn in your bulletin to page 3. There is a litany there. I'm going to invite you to join with me in prayer. Your response is in bold. You are here after each of the statements that I make. Let's pray together. O God of promises, you remind us again and again that you are present with your people. When our hearts are broken, when we wait in worry to hear a diagnosis, when we lose the ones we love, when anyone is hungry or thirsty, when we feel like strangers and wonder if anyone will welcome us, where anyone is sick in need of care or company, when people are in prison, when anyone needs clothing, you, O God, are here with us when we suffer. Empower us to be with others as they suffer, our neighbors both near and far, You are here, God, in the midst of suffering, and we want to be where you are. Christ has no body here on earth but ours, no hands but ours, no feet but ours. Ours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ must look out on the world. Ours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Ours are the hands with which he is to bless his people. Let us go now to love and serve our Lord and our neighbors. Amen.